In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump on Sunday gave a televised address and triumphantly announced the killing of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, a man considered to be the leader of the notorious terrorist organization called the Islamic State, or ISIS. Al-Baghdadi was reportedly cornered by U.S. forces while hiding in a compound in Syria, and the raid took years of planning. Associated Press said, quote, "The stout, bearded militant leader wore a suicide vest and dragged along three children as he fled from the American troops. He then blew himself up and the children as well. There have been previous reports of al-Baghdadi's death that were revealed to be false, but as per AP, this time, quote, lab technicians conducted an on-site DNA test to make sure, and within 15 minutes of his death, positively identified the target," end of quote. Here is Trump speaking from the White House about the raid and the killing.
"Last night, the United States brought the world's number one terrorist leader to justice. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead. He was the founder and leader of ISIS, the most ruthless and violent terror organization anywhere in the world. The United States has been searching for Baghdadi for many years. Capturing or killing Baghdadi has been the top national security priority of my administration. U.S. Special Operations Forces executed a dangerous and daring nighttime raid in northwestern Syria and accomplished their mission in grand style."
Trump's announcement drew instant comparisons to President Barack Obama's announcement of the assassination of Osama bin Laden, as he used denigrating terms to describe the killing, in contrast to Obama's more measured tone.
"He will never again harm another innocent man, woman, or child. He died like a dog. He died like a coward. The world is now a much safer place."
The New York Times summarized how Trump, quote, repeated the word whimpering six times and made a point of repeatedly portraying Mr. al-Baghdadi as, quote, sick and depraved and his followers as losers and frightened puppies. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi released a statement on Sunday evening saying that, quote, "the House must be briefed on this raid, which the Russians, but not top congressional leadership, were notified of in advance, and on the administration's overall strategy in the region." When asked by reporters if he had informed Pelosi, Trump admitted, "No, I didn't. I didn't do that. I wanted to make sure this kept secret. I don't want to have men lost and women. I don't want to have people lost." He gave no evidence for why he thought the House Speaker would leak details to the press. Details have also emerged that Trump knew of the U.S. military's planned raid to kill al-Baghdadi when he decided unexpectedly to pull U.S. troops back from northern Syria some weeks ago. His decision reportedly complicated the planning of the raid and forced military strategists to move faster and take greater risks. The New York Times noted that, quote, "the president cast the death of the ISIS leader as validation of his disengagement strategy, but it required intelligence agencies and allies he has spurned." Trump described the video of al-Baghdadi's killing as akin to watching a movie and announced on Monday that he might authorize the release of parts of it to the public. And Syrian Kurdish forces have announced that just after al-Baghdadi's killing, they conducted a joint raid with U.S. forces and killed the ISIS leader's top aide and possible successor, Abu Hassan al-Muhajir. Here in the U.S., in news from the impeachment inquiry, House committees overseeing the probe of how Trump improperly used U.S. military aid to Ukraine to extract political campaign information have scheduled several depositions of current and former members of the National Security Council. Given Trump's directive for White House staff to refuse compliance with the inquiry, it's not clear if all will turn up. And Republican Senator Ron Johnson has now emerged as a key figure in the Ukraine scandal, with a report of a former Ukrainian diplomat named Andriy Telizhenko having met with Johnson to discuss details about the 2016 election. On Monday, Gordon Sondland, a Trump loyalist and the U.S. ambassador to the EU, returned to Capitol Hill to review the transcripts of his deposition to House committees. Sondland's appearance was a surprise, And after last week's damning testimony by acting U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, William Taylor, lawmakers are saying Sondland needs to explain some prominent gaps in his testimony. Former representative from Michigan, John Conyers Jr., has died. The elder statesman who resigned in 2017 after accusations of improper conduct from two employees was 90 years old. He served on the House Judiciary Committee for so many years that he became the only sitting member of that committee who had been in office for two impeachment proceedings against Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton. Conyers was a stalwart liberal, having spoken out against the multiple wars, including Vietnam and Iraq. He was also a very early proponent of a nationalized health system and was one of the original founders of the Congressional Black Caucus. Meanwhile, Conyers' former colleague Elijah Cummings, who chaired the CBC and who passed away over a week ago, was formally laid to rest on Friday and was eulogized by Barack Obama and others. President Trump made a couple of appearances over the weekend where he was clearly not wanted. On Friday, he showed up to Benedict College, a historically black college, to accept an award ahead of a scheduled forum on criminal justice that 10 leading Democratic presidential contenders were due to speak at. During his speech, he went as far as comparing his own situation to the mistreatment of African Americans by the criminal justice system, saying, quote, "We'll never let up on our efforts to ensure that our justice system is fair for every single American, and I have my own experience, you know that. You see what's going on with the witch hunt." Then on Sunday, Trump showed up to the World Series game when baseball fans booed him loudly and chanted, "Lock him up." A group called Veterans for Impeachment also showed up to the game and held up a visible sign bearing their group's name right behind the home plate. In California, wildfires continue to plague the state, with a Kincaid fire in Sonoma County still wreaking havoc and heading toward the county's biggest population center in Santa Rosa. So far, 200,000 people have been evacuated from the area. And in Southern California, a new fire broke out on Monday in the Brentwood area, causing evacuations. Meanwhile, Pacific Gas and Electric is continuing power outages that it says are preventing new fires from being triggered by its aging power lines. 2 million people so far have suffered blackouts, and it's the largest intentional power outage in California's history. The LA Times reported that residents have struggled to obtain evacuation orders for fire because they were without power. And finally, elections in Argentina returned former President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner back to power, this time as vice president to Alberto Fernandez. The election was a resounding defeat for incumbent Mauricio Macri, who had imposed severe austerity reforms in the country. Ms. Kirchner said she would, quote, "ask the president, who is still in office, that he please take all the measures that should be taken to lighten the dramatic financial reality the country is undergoing." The election is seen as part of an ongoing left backlash to right-wing neoliberal governments and policies in Latin America in recent months. And that does it for our news headlines today.